My name is Ben Mukoma. I am glad to be here. I'm blessed of the Lord. I have never been asked to give the first sermon of the year. It feels like there's so much weight on the first sermon. And it's not on the person giving the word, but on God. Because some of you did your year reviews, 2023, how it went. You did a plan for this year, financial goals, marital goals, societal goals. What else? Revolution. This year we are buying our 17th car. We are buying land in Nanyuki. This is the year we are getting a child. This is the year we are marrying. And there's a lot of weight, not necessarily on the giver of the word, but on God. And therefore the expectation is the first sermon of the year, God is going to speak into those things. And I pray that he does. I pray that he does. We were hosting Tim and Val some time back before the year ended, and they were telling us how they attended a crossover service into 2023, and God answered prayers that they made when they were crossing over. I was like, oh, wow, that's really cool. That's really cool, man. And as you sat down and wrote the things you want for 2024, you probably had some things you're like, okay, God, this is it, man. This is it. This is it. And the topic of today is prayer. We are Rhythm City Church, Nairobi. We are a global family of maturing, spirit-filled followers of Jesus. We are a global family of maturing, spirit-filled followers of Jesus. There are things that cause maturity and there are evidences of maturity. Things that cause maturity and evidences of maturity. How do you grow as a Christian? This is not a rhetorical question. I'm going to call you out if you don't raise your hand. Thank you very much. How do you grow as a Christian? You can just shout it out. Oh, Sunday school song. Uh-huh. Read your Bible. Pray every day. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. How else? Suffering. Okay. You should see people's faces. They're like, huh? What are the things that cause you to mature as a Christian? Mm-hmm. Dying to self. Okay. Coming to church. Okay. Keeping fellowship. Uh-huh. Accountability, okay. You guys don't listen to sermons. Or truth be told, you don't listen to them and grow. You just listen to them for fun. That's the word. So Dave Matthews, in his book, Habits of Grace, classifies the things that give us access into heaven are conduits of God's grace on us into three. There is word, hearing his voice. There is prayer, having God's ear, and fellowship, being a part of his body. And if you talk about word, there are many ways this can happen. There are those who listen to podcasts, those who listen to sermons, those who come and what you're doing right now, listening to the word. There's the time when you're doing quiet time, you're all alone reading the word. Audio Bible. I think that someone I met at the kids' church listened to the audio Bible. That was really interesting. Testimonies, when you hear them, they also, there's a download of what the Lord is saying and doing in the here and now. In terms of prayer, there is when you pray alone, when you pray with people and someone prays over you, fasting, going to the mountain, the people who've gone to the mountain beginning of year. There's the communal fasting that most churches do at the beginning of the year. All that is under the category of prayer. And then finally, there is fellowship, being a part of his body. Tables, church, keshas that you went to, worship nights, all-ins, crusades, conferences, the list is endless. Today we are going to narrow down on prayer. Prayer is not unique to Christianity. It's not. The Mayans used to pray with litanies. Kikuyu ancestors used to pray facing Mount Kenya. Muslims pray facing Mecca, five times a day. Jews pray how many times a day? Three times a day. Prayer is not unique to Christianity. Paul, when talking to the men of Athens in Acts chapter 17, noted that they prayed to even several gods, not one person, but to several gods, even to an unknown god. Buddhists pray with mantras, chanting and more towards Buddha. Others pray to Mother Nature and the universe. The Scientologists pray to the author of the universe. So prayer is not unique to Christianity. It's not. Regardless of what religion you go into, people pray. In fact, some of us, used to pray even when we didn't know Christ. God, if you just give me a chance to commit this sin. I don't know what sin you're thinking about right now. People pray before they go steal. Maze, I don't want to get caught. God, oh Lord, my God, may the CCTVs not work. May I not get caught. Prayer is not unique to Christianity. But the thing that makes it different, because in as much as prayer at the heart of it is praying to a supreme being, to a higher power, the biggest difference in the Christian prayer is who we pray to. That's the biggest difference, who we pray to. We are praying to a God who sees, who hears, who moves, a God who lives. Prayer is having God's ear. And because he responds, even in some circles, prayer is noted as a conversation with God. Because in the other places, you will go and pray and you don't get a response. You make a God after yourself. You think, oh, God should have a leg because I have a leg. There's a tribe in Amazon. They have a genetic condition where one leg is shorter, and they made gods, and all their gods had one short leg. You make a God after who you think God is meant to be. Unfortunately, your God becomes less than you because they can't see, they can't hear, they can't walk, they can't move. But then because you believe in that God, you even turn out to be less than that God that you made, because now you're believing in them and they can't help you. And we are praying to a God who lives, a God who moves. That's the God we are praying to. It's a response to him initiating the conversation. If you think about sin, for example, Romans chapter 5 verse 8 says, but God demonstrates his power towards us, or his love towards us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In that he is saying, hey, you messed up. And you're like, yeah, God, I come before you. I am a sinner. Take away my heart of stone. Give me a heart of flesh. Renew me, restore me, sanctify me. It's response to the conversation that he already began, because he convicted you of the sin. You're not initiating it. You're responding to him. If it comes to any weight that you have, this is in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come to me, all you who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It says, hey, I know you're tired. I know this is worrying you. The economy is worrying you. Your finances are worrying you. Your family is worrying you. The continent is worrying you. Many things are worrying you. Your business is worrying you. Come to me. And you're like, indeed, Lord, I come. It's response to a conversation that he began. He began the conversation. You are now responding to it. He has spoken first. He gave us the word. This is not a conversation we start, but a relationship that we are being drawn into. His voice, both written and revealed in the daily conversations with him, breaks the silence. And then in prayer, we speak to God. It's the reflex to the grace he gives the sinner he saves. And in our asking and pleading and requesting, these do not originate from our emptiness, but his fullness. Prayer is not pushing of our agendas. We're not looking for a side door to the Holy of Holies, to the heavenly throne, so that we can push our agendas, lobby, and just have a side chat with God before we go about more pressing matters. It's not that. It is not an item on the daily planner. It is the daily planner. Order my steps, God. So who do we pray to? You know, when we say we pray to God, I might assume that we are praying to we have the same concept of God. So let's clarify who God is. The disciples asked Christ to teach them how to pray. There are many things that Christ did. Miracles. He fed 4,000 men, 5,000 men, walked on water, raised the dead. But there is no record of the disciples telling Christ, teach us how to resurrect. Teach us how to feed 4,000 people. It was teach us how to pray. There was something that they saw in his lifestyle. They're like, this is the thing that you need to teach us. Teach us how to pray. And Christ, in teaching them, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, says, pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Let's pause there. The Christ model of prayer begins with our Father. If, you know, I believe the greatest theologian is Christ. And yet when he's being asked to teach people how to pray, he begins with our Father. That sounds lame. It sounds so plain, so simple. Our Father. Didn't he know God has more bigger names? You know, there's a whole list of bigger names. Chris, give me the list of bigger names. Yeah. There's El Shaddai, El Shaddai, the Lord God Almighty. He could have begun, El Shaddai, who art in heaven. He began it, Our Father. El Elyon, the Most High God. Adonai, the Lord, the Master. Yahweh, the Lord Jehovah. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. Jehovah Ra, the Lord my shepherd. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. Jehovah Tsikenu, the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Mikodeshkin, the Lord who sanctifies you. El Olam, the everlasting God. Elohim, God. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. There are many names that he could have used. Many titles he could have used. He didn't. He began with something that all of us can understand because it is the foundation, the root of our relationship with the person we are praying to, our Father. Prayer comes from a point of intimacy, from a child to a father, to a God who is asking for intimacy with his children. It is getting him, God. He didn't begin with the things that we could get from God. Jehovah Jireh, we come before you. The providence, no. He began with our Father, the relationship bit. It's not just having his ear concerning our matters, concerning his hand, concerning our matters. I have seen the hand of the Lord. It's not just about that. It's having God himself in our matters. It shouldn't surprise us then to find that the core of prayer is not asking for stuff, but asking for God. That even when you're giving him, Lord, this is our vision 2024. This is what we want as a family. I have sat down with my wife. We have said 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I've sat down with my people in the business. We have said about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It's not. This is not the core of it. It's the relationship that I am going to have this entire year with you. That's the root of it. But do we even have a right to call him our Father? Yes. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, but as many who received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, and to those who believe in his name, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Romans 8:15 says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Our Father who art in heaven. So then, what is our Father like? At times we lose sight of who we are praying to, because if we say our Father, we are comparing him to our earthly fathers. They didn't have all the wisdom, all the might, all the money, all the power. And therefore, we tend to diminish the might of God. I know we did the series on God's attributes last year. If you didn't listen to that, you can have a listen. It's on Spotify or wherever else you listen to your podcasts. Let me talk about the might of God. The average weight of a man is about 70 kgs globally, not in this church. Globally. I have not done the research in this church. Globally. Frank, please come. Yes. Bob, please come. All right, please stand here. Global examples, of course. So assume this is the 70 kg man. Please move back. Move back. Bob, I want you to push Frank. Frank, please don't be movable. Try not to be movable. Bob. Okay. All right. So the average man weighs about 70 kgs. Can you push a man? You can try. Right? Okay. Avitz is about 1,000 kgs. That's about 14 men. Can I have 13 more men here? Bob is going to push all of them. Can I have 13 more men here? Let me have 13 more men. Bob, you can start doing your push-ups. You can start doing your push-ups. Let me have 13 more men here. We have Papi. We have Sauce. We have Ayo. Yes, yes. Let me have 13 more men here. So you guys are going to be one big body. Guys, we do not want to demolish Bob. We don't want to demolish Bob. Okay. Now, you guys are meant to be one big body. All right? Immovable. I don't know how you want to stand. So Bob is meant to move this mass of people. This is a Vitz without tires. You know, it's easier to push a Vitz because there are wheels. But assume it's a Vitz that doesn't have wheels and you're trying to push it. Bob, you're meant to push this entire Vitz. Push. Are you guys feeling anything? Bob, Bana, you're embarrassing yourself, Bana. Two hands. Okay. Sam, when you feel something, say yes. Okay. Nothing. Okay. Bob has been unable. You can sit. Thank you, guys. You can sit. So a vitz is about 1,000 kgs. That's the weight of 14 men. Bob was unable to move the vitz. The earth is about 5.972 × 10^24. That is about 5972 with 21 zeros after. All right? If you remove three zeros, that is the number of vitzes. Can you move the earth? If you stack them on top of each other, the vitzes, you'd have about... So, if you stack them on top of each other from the earth to the sun, you'd have 64 billion piles of vitzes. So, you see the bunch of men you found here? The men that Bob was so strong enough to push. Now, imagine 64 billion piles of that. Can you move the earth? Okay. The sun is about 330,000 times the weight of the earth. Can you move the sun even an inch? But Job in 31 verse 38 says, can you bind the cluster of the Pleiades or lose the belt of Orion? Can you bring out Mazaroth in its season? Can you guide Arcturus with its cubs? If you are in astronomy, this will be like, oh yeah. So let me just take one of the stars mentioned there, one of the constellations mentioned there. In this case, it would be Arcturus. The others, some of them are constellations like Orion. All right, so let me take Arcturus only. The last star, Arcturus. It's one of the brightest stars in the night sky. There are 52 additional stars adjacent to Arcturus, and all of them move directionally together, and it's called the Arcturus stream. The speed of Arcturus is about 257 miles per second. That's around 413 kilometers per second. It's about the distance from here to Mombasa, just a bit less per second. Per second. Scientists believe that Arcturus is thousands times the mass of our sun. If I tell you, I'm going to give you thousands, the least you should think about is, let's say, 2,000, right? So if you say thousands, for approximation's sake, let's just say it's 2,000 times the weight of our sun. Scientists say he's an outsider, a visitor, a stranger within the gates. To speak plainly, Arcturus is a runaway. Newton gives the velocity of a star under control as not more than 25 miles a second, but Arcturus is going at 257 miles a second. Therefore, the combined attraction of all the stars we know cannot stop him or even turn him in his path. Arcturus and his sons are on a course all on their own, and only God has the power to guide them. So when God was meeting Job, after everything has been done, everything has been said, those friends have come, they have tried to define God. God comes and says, who is this that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? Can you guide the Arcturus with its cubs? And do you know how much power it took God to move Arcturus? That was actually too loud. That is the God that you're praying to. You struggle to move one man. You can attempt moving 14 men. You can't move 5.972 times 10 to power 24. You can't move 330,000 times of that. You can't move 2,000 times of all that. But God moves them with not as much as breaking a sweat. That's the God you're praying to. So next time you're approaching the throne of grace, expecting mercy and grace in times of need, approach with boldness. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? He holds a lot of power to help you out of any situation that you are in. So do you think the vision 2024 you've given him is big enough for him? He'll be like, oh my God, he said he wants to get married this year. Okay. In this case, he'd say, oh myself. Do you think he would do that? Really? That's the God you're praying to. And wonder of wonders, not only does he express himself and bid us to hear his voice, read his word, but he wants to hear ours. He stops, he stoops, and he listens. It's like, if you pray anything in my name, you're going to get it. And he is your father. He is your father. He's not a mighty God. If you had that power just to move the earth, I don't think you'd be approachable. You'd have bodyguards or something, a whole system before you get to me. But this is God is like, come, come. Side note. When Leilani wants to eat a banana, do you know what she tells me? Nana. Sounds so nice. Nana. Nana. And usually it's Nana. Asking. Do I understand her? Yes. Sometimes we get so cautious about praying to God, we are afraid of stumbling over words. We are afraid of saying the wrong thing. Maybe he won't understand. Really? If me, in my small mind, I can understand Leilani saying, Nana, how much God, who knew your troubles even before you asked them. You are afraid of stumbling over words. I don't know how to pray. Hey, oh, Tani, come pray over us. I don't know how to pray. No. He knows. You can't stumble over words in a way that he wouldn't understand or come through. I know sometimes you don't want to be nonchalant in prayer because there are people who have tried that and they've died. The sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, well, they were extinguished. We should have a healthy reverence for God. That much is evident. But there's a time that shall come where Leilani will be saying, Dad, can I have a banana? And maybe just one day she'll be like, Dad, can I have a Musa acuminata? That's the botanical name for bananas. I don't even know if I'll understand that time. And maybe she'll even ask for Worcestershire sauce. And I'll understand. She can say it. She's not stumbling over the words. So don't be afraid of stumbling over words when you're talking to your father. Just say it. Just say it. We pray because we want God. We want to experience him. We want to experience his grace, his power, his intimacy, his everything. We want to experience him. And he says prayer is important. He says praying always with all prayer. This is Ephesians 6:18. And supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to the end of this with all perseverance, supplication for all the saints. He asks us to pray, therefore we'll pray. Because he knows that when we pray, we get to experience him, our Father. Our Father. So prayer is not just about asking for results, but relationship. But he didn't say all these things, and then he's like, yeah, I want you to pray. Then he steps back. He's like, no, Ezekiel 36:27, I will put my spirit in you and cause you to walk in my statutes. You will keep my judgments and do them. Therefore, my beloved, Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, not as in my presence only, but now much more in our absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to do for his good pleasure. He's telling you, you need to pray always, continually, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. But I'm going to be with you. I want intimacy, and I will help you work out that intimacy. What about asking for stuff? Because when you say this, it sounds like, okay, so we should now, God, I want you. What about asking for stuff? We should ask for stuff. Don't get me wrong, we should ask for stuff. We should. We must. It's not wrong to want God's gifts or ask for them. In fact, most prayers in the Bible, if you go through them, are about asking for stuff. Even the prayers recorded of Christ. Lord, I thank you that you hear me, but for the sake of this do I pray. Lazarus, come out. It's not wrong. Because remember, as we said at the beginning, it's a response. He is holy, and so we worship. The prayers of adoration, Lord, you are holy, you are mighty, there is none like you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. When you're saying that in prayer, it's a response to him. He is merciful, so we repent. He is gracious, so we express appreciation. He is loving and caring, so we petition him for ourselves, our family, our friends, our world, our nation. Prayers of supplication, Lord, I'm asking for this. Because you know, he is that. It's not built on our emptiness, but his fullness. In fact, he expects you to ask. Otherwise, he wouldn't say, ask anything in my name. Think about it. Because sometimes we can tend to look, oh, high and mighty, pious. Lord, we want you in this place. No, Lord, we want you to heal Pastor Kevin. I'm not saying he's sick. Are you sick? Do you want us to pray right now? No, he's not sick. And a capesa. And therefore, the power of prayer is not the power of prayer per se, or the power of the prayer, the prayer of a righteous man, the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It's not hinged on the man or on the prayer, but who we are praying to, the power of who we are praying to. Fervent prayer, but not praying to God, will you avail much? So in conclusion, when all is said and done, our hope as mature Christians is not to be skilled Bible readers, to be practiced or seasonal. Is there a word like prayer warriors, or faithful churchgoers? That's not the point of mature Christianity, or to be the best entrepreneur, the best sibling, the best father, the best husband, the best wife, the best employee, the best minister. It's not that. When all is said and done, but to be the one who, as God describes in Jeremiah, but let him who glories, glory in this. This is Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 24. Let him who glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am Lord, exercising loving kindness and judgment and righteousness in the earth. For in this I delight, says the Lord. Everything else does happen, but is secondary to us knowing God. And because I know him, I gave him my vision 2024 for my family, for my business, for my relationships, for my ministry, because I know him. We have the ear of God. Let's make the most out of it. Can we pray? Our Father. Our Father. Our Father, that we may understand what it means that you are our Father, that we may understand what it means to draw close to you. Sometimes we are like Lilani, speaking gibberish in front of you, but you just want us closer to yourself, to know you, to experience you, to be intimate with you. Our Father. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. For you are worthy of all the praise and adoration. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, give us this day. Lord, give us this week, give us this month, give us this year, our bread. Give us this day, our daily bread. The many things that we have submitted to you for 2024. Some of us want healing in our hearts for the pain of yesteryears. We want our ministries to grow. We want our businesses to grow, our families to be sober. That those who are lost may find you. That you may experience more of you. That those who are asking for spiritual gifts this year, give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses. You are so holy, Lord. Not a single sin. No wonder how mild, as we call it. We have a whole scale of how sin is serious sin, and there is kind of mild sin. But in you, it's all sin, and the wages of sin is death. It is. So Lord, may you forgive us our trespasses. We stepped out of line for the path that you showed us. We disobeyed you. We're sorry. Cleanse us, forgive us, purify us, sanctify us, clothe us in righteousness. The consequences of it was death. We drew away from you, we drew away from you people. It killed relationships. Cleanse us. As you forgive those who trespass against us, lead us, Lord, to love as you love, to forgive as you forgive. And lead us not into temptation. Indeed, he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. If the Lord is on our side, who can be against us? Of whom shall I be afraid? Oh, Of whom shall we be afraid this year? We will step in places that we've never stepped. You'll open doors and we'll walk into them without fear, without shame, without guilt, without imposter syndrome and all those other things that hold us back. We will run this race. No sin, no weight holding us back, no bitterness. Nothing holding us back. Nothing holding us back. Nothing holding us back. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Indeed, many are the things that the devil has planned against us this year. But no weapon formed against us shall prosper. None. Maybe we even have colleagues at work who are just servants of the devil. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, Lord, for you are with us. You are with us. Deliver us from evil, Lord. Even though 1,000 fall on our left, 10,000 fall on our right, we are safe under the shadow of your wings. We are safe. This much we know, we are safe. Our Father, we know we are safe. There's no place we walk into that you're not leading us and then walking with us. You are walking with us, Lord. With the Israelites, you had the pillar of fire and the cloud that was with them. You are still with us even to this very day. Yes, you are. And you are going to be with us this entire year. For thine is the kingdom, the power. There are sicknesses we've had, our families have had, our friends have had from years on. It runs in the family, they say. For thine is the power to break chains. The sins that have plagued us years upon years, we've always stumbled upon them. The standing joke is something must kill a man. You're going to break these chains, Lord, because you are a chain breaker. You're going to make a way as we walk into righteousness. We walk in righteousness, Lord. You're making a way. You have the power to break everything that is holding us back from the path that you're ordering us to step in. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. That at the end of 2024, we'll sit down and look at all those things that were accomplished in 2024, but we'll know you're the one who wrought all these works in us. That men may see our good deeds and praise you in heaven, that they may give you glory, that indeed, had it not been for you, Lord, we would have been extinguished, but 2024 came and went. Many things were accomplished, but it was because of you. That all the glory will be yours at the end of the year. All the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Be blessed.